One of the fundamental teachings of Buddhism, especially Mahayana Buddhism, is that all sentient beings are in possession of Buddha nature, that above and beyond time, above and beyond phenomenal particularity, in a sense out of time, all beings even are Buddha, are enlightened, and within time are capable eventually of gaining enlightenment. But beings are not all equally capable at any given moment, any given time, in any given state of gaining enlightenment. Some are more capable than others. And this is expressed in the terms of some people being endowed with more Buddha seeds than others. These Buddha seeds representing various potentialities which can be actualized within a certain limited, very definite period of time, perhaps in this life itself. In Buddhist teaching generally, especially in Chinese Mahayana teaching, there are three kinds of seeds, three kinds of potentialities in sentient beings. There are good seeds, bad seeds, and Buddha seeds. You notice there's a distinction between the good seeds and the Buddha seeds. You're not, because you're good, you're not necessarily Buddha. Because if you're Buddha, you can't help being good, presumably. So there are good seeds, bad seeds, and Buddha seeds. Or sometimes it's expressed as red seeds, meaning the good seeds, black seeds, meaning, of course, the bad seeds, and yellow seeds, or golden seeds even, that is to say, the Buddha seeds. And these seeds represent, respectively, our potentialities for good, our potentialities for evil, and our potentialities above and beyond good and evil for enlightenment. And all seeds are present in all beings, all kinds of seeds. We've all got in us red seeds, black seeds, yellow seeds. But they are present in us, present in different beings, in varying proportions. And here we come back to the six kinds of beings. Beings in the six worlds, or beings in six different states of mind. Because in each world, or each state, the three kinds of seeds are present in certain definite quantities. And this leads to some rather surprising conclusions. Now, there should be somewhere around a chart to help us. I'm not quite sure where it's been put. Here we are. Now, we see here the six worlds, or six states, arranged just as they were described when we were dealing more directly with the Tibetan Wheel of Life, the third circle. First of all, at the top, we see the world or state of the gods. We see there that there are no black seeds. The gods have no potentiality for evil. And godlike people, there's good people, really good people, almost goody-goody people, have got no potentiality for evil. They couldn't hurt a fly, you know, not deliberately. There's a great deal of red seed because they're very, very good indeed. Very happy, holy, contented, peaceful, kind, etc. Red seed is predominant, but we see there's very little yellow seed, rather surprisingly. The potentiality for Buddhahood, for enlightenment, seems to be rather limited. Then two, going clockwise, we come to the world or state of the Asuras or Titans. Well, we see that that's made up, or the seeds here consist, of two-thirds black seeds. Roughly one-third red seeds, and there's only just one single yellow seed. One single Buddha seed. Right, come down to the world of the Pretas, or state of the hungry ghosts. There's no red seed at all there. No red seed at all. There's a predominance of black seed, but there's quite a lot of yellow seed. All right, come right down to the bottom. World or state of tormented beings, hell. Well, here we find a situation practically the same as that of the hungry ghost. There's no red seed. There's a definite predominance of black seed, but there's even more yellow seed than there is in the world or state of the Pretas. See what that means in a minute. Then fifthly, coming up on the other side, the world or state of the animals. There's very little red seed. They don't really have a very happy time of it. There's a predominance of black seed and a small amount of yellow seed, about twice the amount of the red seed. And then sixthly and lastly, there's the world of men, or state of men, human state. Here we see three kinds of seed present in roughly equal proportions. So no doubt some of you have already got the message, or some of the messages, but let's underline a few of the conclusions which follow from all this. Some of them are really quite obvious. We see, to begin with, that the Asuras, the angry, warlike, competitive, fierce, hostile people, have got the smallest potentiality for Buddhahood. In other words, if you're involved with highly competitive business dealings, or if you're in politics, etc., your potentialities for enlightenment are very small indeed. The gods, though, strange to say, have got a smaller potentiality for enlightenment than either the hungry ghosts or the tormented beings. In other words, if you're undergoing a period of intense mental suffering, you're much more likely to gain enlightenment or Buddhahood than someone who's having a very easy, pleasant, aesthetic time. It's quite difficult, in fact, to gain enlightenment from a state of happiness, of unadulterated happiness. It's much easier, comparatively, though still very, very difficult, to gain enlightenment from a state of intense suffering. It's as though the suffering acts as a sort of catalyst, even makes us more aware. We often find that when we're undergoing a rather serious illness, when there's something seriously wrong with us physically, when we go through all sorts of physical changes and painful experiences, and maybe are mentally rather upset, we very often have sort of spiritual experiences which we don't seem to get at other times in other ways. It's as though a sort of tension is created, or a sort of sensitivity is created. We become more susceptible to higher spiritual experiences and influences at that time, of physical stress and even of mental stress, mental suffering. Now, there's a lot more that could be said on this particular point, on the closeness, as it were, of the relationship between intense mental suffering and spiritual experience, the relationship between intense mental suffering and potentiality for enlightenment, but we've no time, and in any case, perhaps the whole chart speaks for itself. If we study it, or even just look at it, just look at all those coloured dots, those coloured seeds, black, red and yellow, quite a few messages beyond words and beyond thoughts even will come across to us.